Shalom, I am Alan.
And I am Leontine. Alan and I are professional tour guides, friends, and immigrants to Israel. In this podcast, we talk about everything Israel and our life here.
I moved to Israel, fulfilling a lifelong dream after 30 years as a trial lawyer in Memphis, Tennessee. And I have a lot to say about my homeland.
And I was born in Holland, then lived and worked as a licensed tour guide in France, and ended my journey living and working in Israel.
Yalla, let's go! Shalom, Leontine.
Hello, Ellen.
How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Welcome back. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to speak English because you've been away in France. And were you in Holland?
Yeah.
So you haven't been speaking much English, have you?
No.
So listeners, you probably have noticed, some of you that listen regularly, have noticed that we've been off the air, so to speak, it's been almost over a month.
Mm-hmm.
The last time we recorded was the last week in August before we went on vacation. So we're back. We're back in Israel. We're back with Yalla Israel. And so without further ado, we'll get started.
Yes.
I'm curious to hear about your vacation.
Yes. Usually we ask how was your week, but now we can ask how was your summer. So you're asking me how was my summer?
I am.
Yeah, so nice, very, very, very nice. In Normandy I was, where we own a house, a very old house, but in the middle of nowhere. So it's always nice to go there. Where basically I have to say I cook and shop and cook. I have an electric bicycle that I go out to the, there's like a big supermarket, not really 10, 15 minutes on the electric bicycle. As I go on the bicycle, not with a car, I cannot buy a lot of food. So I have to go every day, but actually I love it because it's like a, but I guess this is vacation that you don't do anything. So I go to the supermarket. There are also some small, like real farmer markets. Like you talk about farmer markets in Israel, here in the cities and in France and in New York and so on. But there it's like, it's really the countryside. So it's real farmer markets. And I shop and I come home and I think of what I'm going to prepare and I cook and I eat and then I go back to the shop and that's in the middle I do some walking, we go to the sea, we see friends and family.
You were gone, it feels like a lifetime. You were gone almost a month at least.
I was gone almost 2 months.
Almost 2 months.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's like so European.
Yes.
From my American listeners, they don't know from a month or 2 month vacation because mm-hmm. 2 weeks is a vacation.
Yes.
But here in Israel and in Europe, it's very common to take at least a month off and during the summer. Mm. In Israel, it's August. That's why we were off the air in August because it's so gosh darn hot.
Yeah.
In August, and people just need a break. Mm-hmm. School ends later in the year than in America. I don't know about France if it's...
it's always the same. School is off in July and August.
Yeah, so, but basically, August is vacation month. You don't get much done.
Yeah, it's the same in France. In Holland, we used to have, in my days, the bouwvakkersvakantie. It's when the workers in construction...
What did you say?
Bouwvakkersvakantie.
Okay, it's when
so the Dutch listeners, they know when they're a little bit older, they know right away. This is when the people working in construction, they would all go on vacation. They would all get their vacation in the same time. It was 2 or 3 weeks. And that is when in the old days, all of Holland would go on vacation. But it's July, August. It's the same area, same period. But it was very nice. I offered to my, we offered with the kids all together for a Shlomo's, for my sweet Shlomo's birthday, that is in July, a huge, like a barbecue, but with coal, eh? Not gas or anything. Add that, and I choose it, and because it also has a smoking function. Mm-hmm. Because my dream was to smoke fish, and so we have been smoking fish all summer. Now, so now my life is complete. I can say it's incredible. You have mackerel. You say mackerel, yeah. Salmon, in all, that you put on in the thing and you smoke it. It's amazing. So I haven't smoked meat yet, but next year. So incredible. So I'm telling you, it was like as every year, family and culinary. That's what my holiday is about.
Sounds delightful.
Yeah.
The family part can be, I'm sure,
it's always very challenging, up and down, but the food is there to make up for it.
Oh, good.
Right. And how was your summer?
Summer was great. We also took, we didn't take the whole month off. I took a lot of time off from work, but we took 2 weeks, and I have just three words that sums it up: gelato, pasta, and wine.
Ah,
nothing can be better. We went to
not Ireland or Scotland, I guess.
No, we didn't go to Scotland.
No,
we were in Italy, back to our kind of like our home away from home in the summertime. We went to a place called Vico Pancellorum, a medieval village up in the mountains of Tuscany, in the area of Bani di Luca. We stay at Casa Zola.
Uh-huh.
And all the kids were there, and all the kids' partners and husband and two grandkids. And we just had, it was an incredible time. And we were laughing because we were talking about the ups and downs of family on vacation. And we got lucky this year because everybody was up.
Ah,
everybody was happy.
Good for you.
The four daughters pretty much got along without much drama, four daughters can do. So it was great. Just another one of the great reasons to live in Israel is because you're so close to Italy and Holland and
for
France,
you Americans,
and
yes,
Europe, and,
yeah.
You can just zip off for
true
for holiday.
True, and I have to say that knowing that most part of my family lives in Europe, it's I feel very 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 lucky that I only need like 4.5 hours in a plane to get there, which is for you, it's a dream.
I only need 16, 17, 18, and sometimes 21 hours to get back to my family in America.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, I want to ask you a serious question.
Oui.
I've kind of put you on the spot. How do you, when you come back to Israel from these vacations, when you land at Ben Gurion Airport, remember we actually did a podcast, the last podcast or one of the last podcasts was
on Ben Gurion.
How do you feel when you return to Israel after a vacation that you just had?
A good question. So, in fact, guys, we are recording today in our apartment, in my apartment, well, mine and Shlomo's. And I really, really love my apartment. I love my house in Normandy, but I also love my house here. And it's very... compared to the house in Normandy, it's very luxurious. It's not luxurious at all, but compared to the house in Normandy, it's very very luxurious and very comfortable. So I'm always very happy to come back to my very comfortable apartment compared to the house in Normandy, where it's very nice but less comfortable. And also, this time, for the first time, and it was thanks to you, Alan, I thought of you, we landed at about 12:25 in like lunchtime. And we figured that either we rush and we get the train right away to Jerusalem, but we looked at the time and we got up very early. And I said to Shlomo, you know what, let's have lunch in the airport. And you know, in the arrival hall, you have a very hummus area. You have now a very good place to have hummus and shakshuka. And like you told me that last time when you come back or when you leave, the last thing you eat or the first thing you eat is hummus. I decided to go into the steps of Ellen. So we went to the hummus area and we had hummus and shakshuka. And I was very happy. Pita, and then I felt home. So it was a very good... So getting back to the food, and then the next day I already worked. Getting back to the old city, and not much has... some things have changed, actually. They are doing a lot of renovations and there are new restaurants and so that I saw that I'll have to go and check out. But to see in the same time the same people, they're still sitting here and standing there and saying the same things to
like they've been doing for 75 years.
Right. Yeah. So it was very nice, actually. It's nice to have two homes. I know I'm very lucky. So it felt like coming home, totally. Mm. Yeah.
So when the reason I asked the question, because it still amazes me even to this day, no matter how wonderful my vacation is in the mountains of Tuscany or how wonderful my visits are home in the United States, my former home in the United States, the visits are fantastic and I appreciate them. But when I come back to Israel, without exception, every time I fly in, I fly over the Mediterranean Sea.
I come in over Tel Aviv.
Yeah. I go into the foothills and into the Sumerian mountains, and then you make that U-turn.
Yes.
So you kind of get a whole glimpse of our homeland.
You almost see Jerusalem.
I always feel so grateful when I land back home in Israel. So. Yeah. I'm going to still be going on vacations though.
Yeah.
But it's always good to come home.
It is. And when is your next vacation?
You know, we're trying to in January do a long weekend, someplace that we've never been. We haven't decided yet. We were looking at Scotland.
Yes.
January is not a good time.
So no,
the days are too short
and the weather is probably
not so good. No. And we want to walk Scotland. So we haven't decided, but probably just a few days in January and then August vacation time. So,
right.
And of course, I'm sure there'll be visits home to the United States at some point along the year.
Okay.
So, all right. The topic right on cue, because we both came home from our trips abroad and we came back to the heat. Or at least I did. I don't think you did so much because you just got back.
It was
right on cue.
Yeah.
We're sitting in your apartment. We're feeling the breeze coming from outside. Mm. It rained today for the first time in, May, June, July, August, September, in 5 months.
Yeah.
We had our first rain.
Yeah.
So it means we're going into, I also saw the sea squirrel the other day.
Yes, I saw you posted a picture.
Which means we're going into autumn.
Mm-hmm.
Which also means the Chagim, the Jewish holidays. And this is our Rosh Hashanah episode. So listeners, some of you are listening on Sunday. We're actually recording today is Thursday, right before Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
When you're listening to this podcast on Sunday, Leontine and I will be celebrating the New Year, the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, probably sitting in synagogue and praying. But one thing that's very critical to the Rosh Hashanah, the new year, is what?
Resolutions,
yes. So our new year is very, very similar, but very different than the universal new year. The universal new year, which is January 1st, the beginning of the Gregorian calendar year, which is celebrated in America and around the world, usually with champagne and kissing your loved ones at the stroke of midnight, and making a resolution for health and happiness and, of course, wealth. Everybody's always looking for wealth.
Ah, that's American, I guess.
So the difference in our new year and the Gregorian New Year is the time of the year. Our calendar, the Jewish calendar, and in the Israeli, the calendar in Israel, which is a Jewish calendar, follows the kind of quasi-lunar calendar. So we're following not the sun, not the 365 days circling the sun, but we're following the seasons of the moon each month, the moon.
Right.
So we're on a lunar calendar, which means our new year is in this month of Elul. And so that's the big difference.
Elul.
Elul. You say tomato and I say tomato.
Exactly.
Elul, I say Elul.
Elul. Okay.
But Elul is the month that we're in leading up to the new year. It's the last month of the Jewish calendar. And but what is very similar in the two New Years is this idea of renewal. You know, the new year here is a new beginning. And when we enter into Elul, the last month of the year, we start something called Slichot. Slichot, we start introspecting. We start looking into ourselves and trying to understand where we went wrong. And after 12 months is a long time. You know, we start off with grand ideas of how we're going to improve ourselves and be better and wonderful. And then we get into month two, and then month three, and month four, and slowly, we fall back into our old habits. And by Elul, we start again trying to understand what we did wrong and what we can do better. And we make resolutions.
Yeah.
We hear the shofar.
Yeah.
The shofar is the ram's horn that in the Sephardic tradition, the Spanish tradition, you open your windows.
You hear it all over, all the time.
Every day for 30 days leading up, or maybe 40 days leading up to Rosh Hashanah, you hear the blast of the shofar.
Yeah.
To wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to get ready. Start thinking about what you did wrong and start thinking about those resolutions. You know, we're here. It's Elul. And on tomorrow night, Friday night, we'll celebrate two holidays. Shabbat and Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah.
Which I personally love it when the Jewish holidays fall on Shabbat, because I love Shabbat and I love the Jewish holidays, but I like it that they coincide in the same time, because otherwise it's a lot of days going to the synagogue and waiting. And anyway, but so do you have resolutions?
So I want to ask you, I just gave the long speech. Okay?
Yes, so me first.
The listeners had to listen to me.
Okay, you know, so now they listen to your sweet voice. So now
so
they
I
have to
hear
listen to
your
my
resolution.
Yes.
So if you have any.
Yes, always. Because if I am critical, it's mostly towards myself. And so first of all, I have a resolution for this podcast to become... better, even better. I mean, I think we're doing great, but I really hope that we continue this podcast, first of all, and that we continue to make fun and find great topics, and that we have more and more listeners. So that is, I have to say that I came up with this podcast already a few years ago, and I am so happy I'm doing it with you, because I was first thinking of other people, and I think that's
not just resolutions. Is this not true confessions? You're telling me that I wasn't your first?
No, you were not my first. But I think that because I am doing the podcast with you, it's still existing, because it's like going to the sports school. You need somebody to do it with somebody, otherwise you find all kinds of excuses not to go. And I think with the podcast, thanks to you, the podcast is still going on, because probably, you know, I would have found reasons not to do it, because it takes time and this and this and this and this. So I my first resolution is to continue this podcast and to be on top of the topics and to be the best and so on. So that's my first resolution.
I'll adopt that resolution as my own.
Okay.
Okay.
else? Okay. Let me peace in the world.
What are you? Miss America? Are you running for Miss Universe?
So I was thinking, that's always, they make fun out of the beauty contest. But in fact, seeing what is going on in the world, it's not a bad one, because there is so much shit and trouble going on. Another really tacky one is good health, because you know that's where it's everything stops and ends. And otherwise... I want my Hebrew to improve, so I really want to. I'm not going to. This is a real resolution that I'm probably not going to fulfill. But let's keep it, maybe lose some weight.
maybe let's already starting. That's not a good beginning.
I know it's not a good beginning, you know.
But maybe not.
I know, you know what happened. I was in Paris, and there is a Dutch shop there, and they are selling for a Dutch holiday that takes place in December. They are already selling specific little biscuits that you eat for that holiday. And I bought a package, and just before you arrived, I had a coffee with a handful of those biscuits.
I also saw you leaving work from the old city 2 days ago, and you were walking to the YMCA to swim at their pool. So
yes. Yeah.
Look,
So I eat biscuits, then I go to the pool, and then I come out of the pool. I'm hungry. I have the biscuits again.
That's the problem with swimming. Swimming makes you eat more.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, that's not very special, but those are my resolutions. And yours?
So look, I usually you made me give some thought to this because I don't usually think about it until I'm really sitting in synagogue, and I'm reading the prayers that make you reflect and think. So that's usually when I start thinking about the things that I really, really didn't do very well mm-hmm. the year before and what I want to do better. So you made me think a little bit when you decided to choose this topic. And I'm also going to be like Miss America or Miss Universe. But I did reflect because it's been a long, long, hot summer for all of us. And I find that I read the news a lot and I see what's going on in the world and I see what's going on here. And I have a lot of opinions and I'm critical of the things that I read. But I've decided that I need to work on myself. Okay. And the things I want to work on is more introspection, first of all, to mm-hmm. understand myself and understand the world around me and what's happening. Also to get more involved in my convictions. Okay. Because, you know, we see a lot of there's a lot of debate between right and wrong, okay? And most of us really know what's right in our heart. And yeah. I think I need to get more in touch with my moral compass.
So you're going to run for president?
No. It doesn't. It's just it's conduct.
Okay.
Be okay. more, have more convictions mm-hmm. with my inner self and be more engaged with my friends, my the people I work with, and just be more involved, not politically, just look, it's important to share what you think your what you believe is right.
Right.
And to condemn those things that you think are wrong. And with that being said, I want to work on unity, finding unity within families and friends and community, countries. So that's really, I know that's philosophical and kind of
it's very beautiful.
than I usually go, but that's what I've been thinking about lately this month while I had a lot of time on my hands to read about all the stuff going on around us, all the noise. So that's my resolution. Now, in America, I said you would drink champagne. Did you drink champagne on New Year's in France?
Yeah.
So you have bubbly. You have champagne, which actually comes from France. So that would
of course, be champagne.
Common for you to drink champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong. We also drink wine and have l'chaims on Rosh Hashanah. That's part of the New Year.
Yeah.
But more importantly, we actually will dip an apple in honey.
Yes.
Okay. And that is so that may our resolutions be fulfilled in the coming year and may our year be filled
sweet.
With sweetness.
Yeah.
So that's what I wish for everybody. So that's our hope. And now we're going to go into our mm-hmm. question of the week. We actually have a great question from a listener, Diane, who lives in upstate New York. She's actually also a Buffalo Bills fan like I am because my wife is from Buffalo.
Yeah, and her name is Diane.
Diane's not from Buffalo. Diane's written to us a few times. So
Yes.
But she sent a question, and her question is, why are there so many banana plants in Israel? So she visited Israel, and she saw banana plants.
Yeah, yeah. Often people, it's true, when you drive through the country, people ask, what are these trees? Because they're under nets very often. So in fact, it's good that she asked these questions because I personally didn't even notice that there were more banana plants. Now I know. So for the climate is perfect for bananas here.
Banana,
in Holland we say banaan.
We say banana.
Banaan. It turns out that bananas can grow here all year round. So, which is great because then you can grow them and regrow them, and you don't. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is. So I would say, thanks to the climate. You have something to add to that?
No, that's a great question, because even in my times of coming, visiting Israel, living in Israel, I've been in Israel now 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of the 9 years, I've noticed the just incredible influx and increase of banana, I don't know if you call them orchards or fields,
mm-hmm.
Probably fields. And by the way, bananas are not trees. Those banana things that you see are just plants. You can push them over. It's like a plant that grows in your garden.
Oh, I didn't know.
In your
the garden. Bananas, by the way, they're really good here.
Yeah.
Because we used to eat bananas from Martinique, I think, in general, and you're in Holland and in France, and they were good, but the bananas in Israel.
Yeah, well, that's the point, is Israel figured out
really
that they can grow bananas 365 days a year, and as a result, it's become a huge cash crop, a huge export of Israel.
So we export,
so you see them popping up everywhere. You see them, a large group of them are up on the Western Galilee, and you see them all around the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee.
Yes.
And they are covered by those nets. You know why the nets cover the banana plants?
Birds.
Not for birds.
Insects.
And not for insects. Look, they're open on the sides.
Yeah,
they're just covered at the top.
Yeah.
And that's for the sun. The sun is so, the plants can grow nicely here in this climate, but the sun can burn the plants. So the netting that you see is to diffuse the sunlight.
Wow.
You know, now I know Diane didn't ask that question, but that's
people always ask us this question, and I always think I need to look it up, and then I don't. So now I know. Thank you.
All right, so guys, that concludes our episode today.
Yes.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova to you.
And
on my table are bananas. So
I see the bananas, and I also see pomegranates, another fruit of the season, and apples.
Yeah.
Ready for the honey.
Right.
So everybody. Enjoy the Chag, the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, for those that are celebrating. And we will talk to you next week.
Shana Tova. Thank you for listening to Yala Israel. Send your questions by email at yalaisraelpodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram at yalaisraelpodcast. This podcast was made possible with the help of Leah Kramer, our editor, Elliot Musses, our musician, and Shai Aloni, our cover art designer.